Mein Name ist Nathalie und ich heiße euch herzlich willkommen zu meiner Startup-Schule. Ich freue mich, dass ich euch bei eurem Vorhaben, egal welcher Art es auch ist, von Beginn an begleiten und unterstützen darf. Hast du also ein Startup in Planung oder möchtest dich selbst weiterentwickeln oder hast irgendein Vorhaben, bei dem du nicht genau weißt, wie du anfangen sollst, dann bist du bei mir hier genau richtig.
Oh, happy day. Oh mein Gott. Es ist soweit. Der Startup-Schule-Podcast feiert den 100. Geburtstag sozusagen. Die 100. Folge. Und ich darf euch heute meinen Special Guest vorstellen. Es ist unglaublich. Und jetzt mittlerweile habt ihr durch den Titel schon gesehen, wer es ist. Es ist der unglaubliche John Strelacki. Ich kann es immer noch nicht glauben. Sein Buch Das Café am Rande der Welt, auf Englisch Why Café, hat mich tatsächlich richtig krass inspiriert und mich ein Stück weit in die Persönlichkeitsentwicklung begleitet oder geleitet. Und ja, das war so in den Anfängen, haben mir die Botschaften, die sein Buch enthält, so, so viel gebracht. Und ja, ich bin dadurch inspiriert und gebe seine Botschaften seither auch weiter. Ich weiß noch damals, meine Mutter hat mir das schon ganz, ganz früh mal gegeben, in die Hände gedrückt. Sie hat das selber gelesen, das Buch. Und ich dachte mir so, was ist das? Nee, interessiert mich nicht. Und Jahre später bin ich zu meiner Mutter gekommen, weil ich das Buch irgendwo gefunden habe und bin zu ihr gekommen. Guck mal, was ich gelesen habe. Und sagt sie, Nathalie, das habe ich dir schon vor Jahren gegeben. Aber da war ich wahrscheinlich einfach noch nicht bereit dazu. Und ja, dann war ich es und es hat tatsächlich mitunter mein Leben verändert. Und John Strelacki ist ein ganz, ganz besonderer Mensch. Ich bin einfach nur happy, dass wir zusammengefunden haben, wie durch einen Zufall. Ich glaube ja nicht an Zufälle, aber wir standen eines Tages zusammen vor einem Fahrstuhl im Hotel. Und ich habe ihn einfach gefragt, ob wir das Interview machen können. Und er war sofort begeistert dabei, hat mir sogar noch zu meinem Mut gratuliert, dass ich den Mut aufbringe, anderen zu zeigen, wie sie Mut aufbringen in ihrem Leben, ihr Leben zu etwas Besonderem zu machen, zu einem Masterpiece zu machen. Ja, und ich will gar nicht so viel vorwegnehmen, aber ganz kurz zu John Strelacki selbst. Er hat mit 33 Jahren tatsächlich eine Reise unternommen und nicht nur eine Reise um die Welt sozusagen, sondern auch eine Reise zu sich. Und er hat seine ganzen Erkenntnisse hat er aufgeschrieben und hat angefangen, die Geschichte vom Café am Rande der Welt herunterzuschreiben. Und er sagt selber, es ist wie durch ihn durchgeflossen. Und bis dahin hat er keinerlei Erfahrung als Autor. Und es ist unglaublich, wie sich innerhalb von Jahren seine Botschaften verbreitet haben. Heute gibt es das Buch überall auf der Welt zu kaufen, zu lesen. Und er ist so einer der Schlüsselfiguren in der Persönlichkeitsentwicklung neben Tony Robbins, Oprah Winfrey, Deepak Chopra. Unglaublich. Und deswegen bin ich total happy, dass er den Weg in den Startup-Schule-Podcast gefunden hat. Ihr werdet das Interview lieben. Es enthält so, so viel Mehrwert, so viele schöne Dinge, die er auch gesagt hat, die wir besprochen haben. Ich wollte eigentlich ein bisschen mehr auf die Business-Schiene, auf das Ganze so ein bisschen auf die Startup-Szene übertragen. Aber im Endeffekt waren all die Aussagen schon so treffend, dass das gar nicht nötig war. Also es war einfach, ich habe mir so viele Fragen vorher aufgeschrieben gehabt und letztlich habe ich gar nicht diese Fragen gestellt, sondern es war wie ein Gespräch unter Freunden. Und das Schöne war, John Strelacki schreibt auch in seinen E-Mails, der letzte Satz, den er schreibt, ist Your Fellow Traveler John. Und er nennt mich auch My Friend. Und das war direkt so, ja, auch im Gespräch. Ihr werdet es sehen, es war direkt sehr, sehr vertraut. Und genau, in diesem Interview, was ganz kurz zusammengefasst war, was erwartet euch? Was haben wir sozusagen aufgedeckt? Was gibt es an Mehrwert für euch? Zum einen haben wir auch über das Buch The Big Five for Life gesprochen. Das sind so die Botschaften auch im Business-Kontext. Und da habe ich ihn gefragt, ob es wichtig ist, erst die Big Five for Life sozusagen für sich zu finden, um dann starten zu können und andere inspirieren zu können. Und ja, seine Antwort ist einfach großartig. Zeigt mal wieder, dass wir anfangen können, egal an welchem Punkt wir stehen. Und wenn es nur eine Person ist, die wir inspirieren mit unserem Sein, mit unserem Tun. Wir haben uns auch darüber unterhalten, was John Strelecki vom Scheitern hält und warum er ganz genau die Perspektive der Startup-Szene einnimmt, wieso er denkt, dass es auch wichtig ist, Fehler zu machen, aber auch von anderen zu lernen, sich Mentoren zu suchen, sich an Menschen zu halten, die das schon gemacht haben, wo ich noch, was ich noch erreichen will, was ich noch schaffen möchte und da einfach Fehler zu vermeiden, die diese Personen schon gemacht haben. Und da auch noch mal ganz wichtig, diese Menschen werden bereit sein, ihr Wissen, ihre Erfahrung mit dir zu teilen. Ich habe John Strelecki aber auch nach seiner Ansicht von Erfolg gefragt, wieso er, was er denkt, was Erfolg ausmacht. Ist es das, anderen Menschen zu helfen? Und wie ist das vielleicht auch für jeden anders? Sehr, 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 sehr spannend. Und letztlich wirst du erfahren, wieso es so wichtig ist, das eigene Leben selbst in die Hand zu nehmen. Auch John ist Entrepreneur des eigenen Lebens, Live-Entrepreneur. Und ja, weshalb und was wir uns davon abgucken können, das erfährst du jetzt im Interview. Ich wünsche dir ganz, ganz, ganz viel Spaß. Das war jetzt ein etwas längeres Intro zur Jubiläumsfolge. Und das war mir jetzt auch sehr, sehr wichtig zu sagen, weil ich gespürt habe, und das hat John Strelecki auch nochmal gesagt, zum Beispiel auf der Bühne, wenn er vor Menschen spricht, da spricht er aus dem Herzen. Und das war auch im Interview jede Sekunde so, dass ich das Gefühl hatte, er hat sich die Zeit für mich genommen. Er weiß ganz genau, dass er damit ganz, ganz viele Menschen erreichen wird, inspirieren wird. Und ich kann nur von Herzen Danke sagen. Danke an dich, dass du mich schon lange Zeit verfolgst, dass du dir die Zeit nimmst für dich selbst auch, also auch dir den Podcast anzuhören. Ja, damit hast du eine Entscheidung schon für dich getroffen, dass du Entrepreneur des eigenen Lebens sein willst. Und ich bin natürlich sehr, sehr dankbar für die Möglichkeit. John hat mir angeboten, dass wir im September, Oktober noch mal eine Folge aufnehmen werden zusammen und dann uns persönlich treffen werden, denn da kommt auch der dritte Teil von Das Café am Rande der Welt raus. Und das hat mich total glücklich gemacht, denn ich möchte ihn unbedingt auch noch mal persönlich treffen. Also, da könnt ihr gespannt sein und dann dürft ihr auch mal eure Fragen stellen. Ich habe das jetzt als Überraschung sozusagen für euch hier aufgenommen. Ihr wusstet nicht, wen ich interviewt habe als Special Guest und genau, nächstes Mal für das nächste Interview dürft ihr dann eure Fragen stellen. Genau. Ja, wenn du magst, ich würde mich total freuen, einfach wenn du sagst, dir hat das Interview jetzt gefallen, dir haben generell die 100 Folgen gefallen oder vielleicht hast du auch nur 4, 5 gehört. In jedem Fall würde ich mich sehr, sehr freuen, wenn du meinen Podcast abonnierst und wenn du mir eine 5-Sterne-Bewertung hier auf iTunes gibst, das wird dazu führen, dass ganz, ganz viele Menschen noch von der Startup-Schule erfahren und inspiriert werden. Und ich kann nur sagen, ich freue mich auf die weiteren 100 Folgen. Ich habe noch so, so viele coole Interviewgäste, so viele Insights, die ich mit dir teilen möchte. Ja, jetzt aber genug von mir, genug des Intros. Ganz, ganz viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Und lass dich inspirieren, lass das einfach auf dich wirken. Ist übrigens auf Englisch, also ich werde zusehen, dass ich das auch nochmal übersetze, aber zunächst auf Englisch und schreib mir gerne, wenn du Bedarf hast, dass ich es auch auf Deutsch publiziere. In jedem Fall Schluss bei mir, ganz, ganz viel Spaß und ganz viel Freude.
Hi, John. I'm very, very excited to have you here in my podcast as an interview partner. Thank you so much and welcome to the Startup Schule podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, it's just amazing. First of all, I have to let you know that this is the anniversary of my podcast. This is the 100th podcast episode. So I'm
I mean,
very,
you
very
made the centennial edition. That's
happy.
awesome.
So I'm so happy to have you as a very special guest. I didn't tell my community before, so this will be a very big surprise, and especially to my dear friend Maya. This I would like to dedicate this episode to her
Oh,
because
that's awesome.
yeah, just to let everybody know, she was so excited, and we met John in a hotel, and by actually it was not planned. We just ran into him, and she told me before that she admires him. She read all his books. So this Maya, if you listen to this right now, this is for you. And
We met the way all great friendships are born, standing outside of an elevator. Yeah.
yeah, that was just amazing. So I'm very happy that you're here right now. I'm pretty sure that all my or the people listening to my podcast know your books and everything you wrote. But I'm not sure if they know the person behind all that. Do you want to tell something about yourself, about your story? How did you get your special perspective of life?
Yeah, so the books for the people who are trying to connect the name to the books, so the Das Café series of books, the Big Five for Life series of books, Safari des Lebens, those are some of the titles that are mine. And, you know, the inspiration for the books really came about because I was asking myself these questions that I talk about in the Das Café book in particular. There's three questions on the back of the menu. Why are you here? Do you fear death? And are you fulfilled? And I was going through my life and trying to figure life out. And I was about 28 years old and really kind of struggling to understand, wait, is this all there is? You go to school and then you get a job and then you start working. And if you're lucky, maybe you're in a career that you enjoy. If you're not lucky, then you don't even like the job you're doing. And as an adult, you know, quote unquote adults, you're like, all right, I'm done with college. And now I see how much time I'm spending at my job. And I was just sort of struggling to figure out what is the point of life, you know? And I find it's really interesting. A lot of times this age 28 and also the age 35 are when people ask these types of questions. I don't know, they both have to do with the number 7. And I know they say that like 7 is the lucky number or whatever. I have no idea if that's part of it. Or if it's just that by the time you get to 28, you're 5-6 years out of university, you've worked for a while, you see your friends maybe getting married, or some are having kids. And so you start to look at life and ask, wait a minute, like, which path do I want to be on? And am I on the path that I want to be on?
Yeah, very nice. So just to let you know, I quit my job at the age of 28 last year. yeah, it's like that. And I wrote my PhD and I still do it, but I just quit the university. I got self-employed last year. And my grandma, for example, she said, oh my God, how can you do that? So you can imagine that people say something like that. Was it for you as well that some people said, oh my God, John, how could you... Or I read that you got on a big journey or something. Can you tell something about that and what other people told you?
Yeah. So I had this really powerful epiphany when I was 28 also. I traveled for the first time. So I was going to grad school at night. I was trying to make it as a professional beach volleyball player. I was working full time.
Yeah.
So like every minute of my life was scheduled. I was either training or playing or studying or working. And then I knew graduation was coming up. And so because I was graduating and I had a job lined up after I graduated, I had a 3-month break and I decided to actually take time off, which I had never done anything like that before. And I went to Costa Rica with a buddy of mine and was backpacking around and horrible roads, like massive potholes everywhere, totally different culture, laid back lifestyle. And I had this very profound experience on a beach there. Where I asked myself for the very first time ever, like, what is the point of this all? Why am I here? You know? And I think nature sometimes does that for us because you're in the midst of something so much bigger than you. I always find that when I'm next to the ocean, it's like that I look out at those waves and I just think, wow, like this is gonna go on for a billion more years. My place in this whole picture is so tiny, right? And so given that it's so tiny and life is relatively short, what am I supposed to be doing with it? What is the point of it all? And so I asked myself that question when I was 28, and that was the very first time I asked it. Why am I here? What is the point of my life? And then I wish I could say that I like figured it all out and lived it and it was all glorious, but it really took me a while. And,
yeah. And
ended up, I left that trip, came back and was working. And then when I was 32, I just decided I wanted to go back on the road. I wanted to see the world. That part of my purpose was to see the planet and the people in it and the different cultures and the adventures. You know, at my heart of hearts, ever since I've been a little boy, I was an adventurer. And one of the things about becoming an adult is, as you were saying, if you're not careful, you find yourself in a very non-adventurous life. You know, I mean, you're doing the same thing every day. You're going to the same job. You take the same route to work every day. You interact with the same people. And if you love that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. That's perfect. but I was wired to be an adventurer, and it was just, it was grinding me to dust slowly. And so at the age of 32, I looked at the people that were 10 years older than me, and I thought, if I'm not careful, this is who I will be 10 years from now. I didn't like that picture, and so chucked it all and went and backpacked around the world for a year, and everybody said the same thing you're talking about. They're like, dude, you're crazy. Like, nobody does that. Right? And if you do it, you definitely don't do it at 32, right? I mean, that's maybe something you do 18, 19, a gap year. But the funny thing was, is, and this was like a huge aha, that the reason nobody else knew someone who had done that is because the people who are doing it are out there traveling the world. So if you want to meet those types of people, you need to be out there traveling on, around the world, right? And this is a big, like, tremendously important life lesson, in that if you want to become a baker, you got to hang out in bakeries, right? And if you want to become a race car driver, you need to hang out with race car drivers or mechanics or car manufacturers. Like, part of the game of life is putting yourself in the places where the things that you are excited about and passionate about, that there are other people like that too. Because otherwise you literally could go through an entire year and never interact with someone on that topic, right? And you think that it's not out there, but it is out there. It's just that it's somewhere else. And that's what travel taught me in a great, great way.
Thank you so much for sharing, because I think it takes a lot of courage to do that. And I think you are a role model for so many people who would like to do it. I know so many people who are stuck in their jobs and who don't dare to do anything about it. And I dared to do it, but it took me a long time. I really had to fight not other people's voices, but also my voice in my head. Did you have the same? And what could I do about it? Like, do you have something, a very concrete tip or something what we could do about it?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's two ways that these massive evolutions happen within a life. One way is you get to the point where you say, I just can't take it anymore. But you got to think of everything that goes up, that leads up to that moment. And it's not good. You know, I mean, it's, you're feeling a certain level of stress, a certain level of dissatisfaction. And then that stress and dissatisfaction and discomfort grows and grows and grows and grows until you literally can't take it anymore. And that's what inspires the change. But along the way, that's harmful for your body. It's not great for your minds. It's probably not great for your relationships either. And so this is unfortunately the way that most of us get there, because as you said, the social conditioning would suggest that, listen, just do what everybody else is doing and stop rocking the boat, right? But again, it's not that everybody else is doing this. It's just that if you're working in an office, you're hanging out with other people working in an office. So this is what you think is your reality. So if that's the route that it ends up taking, and that was kind of my route, fine, right? But there is definitely a better way to do this. And the better way to do this, and I'll try and be as simplistic as I can, which is somebody is living your dream life. Who is it, right? Someone is working your dream job. Who is it? And these days, because of the power of technology, you can learn everything possible about these people that's out there, right? I mean, you could get on Google right now and type in the name of any person who's ever had a biography written about them, and within seconds, you can order it and it'll probably be delivered in a day to your house, or you can read it online. You can watch YouTube videos about it. So our ability to see the path to get from where we are to where we want to go is so easy now.
It is.
You know, and what's wonderful is the unconscious mind wants you to take these steps, but it needs a little convincing at times. But the cool thing is that when you look at, so let's say that, so here you are, right? You left your job. Now you're doing social media, you're blogging, you're video blogging, you're doing all this cool stuff, right? So a year ago or 2 years ago, when you first maybe had the dream, the minute you watched somebody else's video blog, that your unconscious mind was saying, wow, like, okay, they don't seem to be getting injured while they're doing it. It's, you know, it's like, I don't think it'll kill us if we try this. You could watch that process and you could see, oh, well, this is how they ask a question. Like, look at, there's probably about 6-7 minutes of time between a question and an answer and another question. Like, your unconscious mind starts to parse all this data and say, maybe we could actually pull this off, right?
Yeah.
And then you watch a second one and a third one and a fourth one, and the next thing you know, you're like, I think I could really do this.
Yeah.
And so we're very blessed in this time era, because imagine if it was 100 years or even 50 years ago, right? Yeah. How would you get access to this? Yeah. You'd be reading it in an encyclopedia or in a biography of somebody.
Yeah.
So you can ease the brain into these slow transitional changes, and that makes it easier than it ever has been.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's a kind of a process. You watch somebody, then you think about it. I can do it as well. But it might take some time, but one day the will be so big, so huge, that you just take the step. And I think it's so helpful that there are so many people sharing their experiences. This is what I see on social media, for example. Everybody shares about what they did in the past so that others might follow. And yeah, I have so many questions prepared, and this might be the point where I can pick up one of my questions, because you wrote about the big fives for life, And I was so inspired about it. This is what you do. You inspire others just to make them realize that there's more than the life we might think of. So can you tell my list, or to my community, what it is, the concept of the big five for life?
Yeah, so this is something that, again, you know, had I not done that trip around the world, I can't even imagine where my life would be now, because this concept of the big five for life is something that I've written three different books that entail this concept in some way, shape, or form. It's something that I share often. We saw each other at that event that we were at, the Entrepreneurship and Self-Development Conference, and I was speaking there. Yeah. And so I speak about this. And when I share it, and your listeners are going to hear it, it's going to sound very like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense, right? And that's good, because my goal in life is to do my best to share things that I've learned in a way that is easy to understand and easy for our brains to comprehend. And the only thing I would say is that it's important for us to realize that because something is simple to understand doesn't mean that it's not powerful. Mm-hmm. Because very often we do the opposite. We hear something and we say, well, that's so simple to understand, it can't be that powerful. Mm-hmm. And so then we wait until something is very, very complex. Mm-hmm. But then when it's so complex, it's too complex, and we don't take any action towards it, right? And so ideally in life, it is about simplicity, as you said. And we know this now because, you know, if you're struggling with your printer and there's an error message, the first thing you do is you get on Google and you type in, you know, whatever, Canon printer error message, and you type it in. And you're looking for the simplest solution possible. Right? And so in truth, we understand the power of the simplicity. So here's the concept, and here's why it does work and why it is so simple. The big five for life are the five things that you most want to do, see, or experience in your lifetime during your days here, right? Statistically speaking, the average person will get 28,900 days. Mm-hmm. And if you take your age and multiply by 365 and subtract from 28,900, mathematically, that's about how many days you have left. And when you start to think of it in days, it totally changes everything. You know, because I used to go to my job that I hated when I was in my early 20s, and I literally would look at the clock on a Monday and think, if I could fast forward to Friday at 5 p.m., I would totally do it, right? But imagine what I was willing to give up. I was willing to let go of 5 whole days of my life just to get to the 2 days that I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And how tragic that is when you think of how few days you really get in this, right? And so these five things, these big five for life, you know, the five things you most want to do, see, or experience during your time here on the planet. And then it's about aligning your resources so that you get to do, see, or experience these five things. And resources could be time. It could be your mental energy. What are you thinking about in your downtime? What are you thinking about in your uptime, right? Mm-hmm. What's the last thing you think about before you go to bed? What's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? Mm-hmm. It could be your financial resources. Are you really, truly giving yourself the opportunity to live this spectacular life? Like maybe you say, I want to go to Africa one time. I was doing an interview the other day and the person said, I've always wanted to go to Africa. I said, well, there's thousands of people visiting Africa today. It could be you, right? Yes. It could be you. And so it's about aligning your financial resources in a way that helps you bring these big five for life into existence. So your mm-hmm. time, your energy, your financial resources, all these things start to get aligned mm-hmm. towards the things that you have decided. This is not about me. This is not about you deciding for any of the listeners, oh, this is what you should be doing. No, no, no. This is about each person mm-hmm. deciding for themselves. These are the things that I most want to do to your experience.
Yeah.
And this is what's wonderful about it. That when you start to align your life towards these things that really matter to you, all the barriers that you and I have been talking about, these obstacles of whether it's social constructs or people's comments or whatever, it's like all the powers that were sitting out there align behind you and start propelling you forward. Maybe. And I mean, it's the coolest thing because obstacles that you were worried about will disappear in a single email when someone's like, hey, did you know that this, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, for 6 months I was thinking this would be the barrier, and then it's gone like that. And I don't know exactly the way in which this manifests. I do think it's part of a bigger picture perspective. I think that we are here for a reason, and I think that the universe, God, you can substitute the word that works for your own personal belief system. I sort of see it as like a joke. Like the universe is looking down and it's like, I see you like running in circles. I have no idea what you want to be doing with your life. And I see you spending 9-10 hours a day at this place, but man, you look so unhappy when you're there. That can't be your thing, but okay. And it's kind of like when we get this awareness that yes, this is what I want to be doing, that the universe goes, all right, game on. Now let's really help you make it happen.
Yeah. Time to take off. I call it time to take off.
Great expression, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you want to bring it down to a very humanistic level, I think everybody around us is sort of waiting for that too.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many people who maybe had told you what you're crazy, leaving your job, et cetera. But then how many people, when you made the decision, mm-hmm. right, you drew the line in the sand, you were like, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. How many people came out of unexpected places yeah. that were great resources for you?
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody tells you, everybody who did or took a decision, everybody tells me magic happens.
Yeah.
Somehow everything, when I took when I decided to leave the job, it was just like, okay, I didn't know anything or I didn't know what to do. I just knew that I prepared, but I knew that there will be something, and somehow some doors opened unexpectedly, and it was just amazing. Yeah.
You said a great word there, which is prepared. And yeah. so I don't want to create the false impression that yeah. it's always easy in life,
yeah. Yeah.
right? In the Big Five for Life book, I talk about something called an ascending life curve. Mm-hmm. And a curve is, if you can, since ever, for the people who are watching the video, I will demonstrate by hand. But mm-hmm. for those who are listening, think of like a sine curve, a wave curve for audio, right? And it's just like a hill, a valley, a hill, a valley, a hill, a valley. And this is the way that most people go through life. And their highs are about the same high. Their lows are about the same low. But there are ups and there are downs. Mm-hmm. When you start aligning your life in the direction of your personal big five for life, there are still highs and there are still lows, right? So it's not always going to be perfect.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that it becomes a climbing curve. And so your highs and your highs and your highs, so you still have lows, but at some point your lows are now higher than what used to be your highs.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is a cool place to get to. And at the same time, realize that your role in this whole thing is preparation. It is mm-hmm. effort. It is commitment. Right. I love the process of writing.
Yeah.
And I love the stories. When I commit to a project and I say, I'm going to do it. Right. It's like the story starts flowing so fast through me. I have to keep notepads everywhere with me because the story is just. So that part of the writing is easy. For me, when it's out and it's on my desktop, right, it's on my laptop, I will go through and I will do 50 rounds of editing mm-hmm. on that story, at least, right? And that means that I'm reading through the same content again and again and again, and I'm finding every single word that I want and every single paragraph that I want, every single sentence, and I won't let it go until I'm happy with every single piece of it. That's the painstaking part, right? I mean, that's just gutting it out, grinding it out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in life, that's a necessary part of climbing to that next height.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to create this false impression. It's always super easy. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very impressive because we have a German word, which is called verdienen, which means earning something. And it includes the word dienen, which means serving. And this is what I did before. I did a lot for free. I gave my experiences. I shared my knowledge and everything, but everything for free, like about 1.5 years. And then I decided to quit the job, and then I could start coaching people. And this is what I say all the time. This is what I support people with, to quit their jobs, but to prepare, to do it in like with ease and not with like pressure. And yeah, I really, really like what you just said. It's amazing. It helps a lot. And you also talk about the purpose for existence. Do you think it's because I had lots of students in my university before who came up to me and said, well, Natalie, I would like to do something else. I would like to do my own thing, but I don't know what to do. And I always told them, well, maybe you could get to know yourself a little bit better. And my question for you, John, is how can I find my purpose for existence? Is it something like traveling, watching other people? And is it really necessary to have this purpose for existence before I start something? Or do I find it when I, like, you know, on the path to my...
Yeah, so great question. And the purpose for existence is the answer to the question, why am I here? Yeah. Right, that very first question in Das Café. Mm-hmm. And the answer is that everybody finds it in different ways. And so, yeah, I found mine by leaving everything behind and fulfilling something that was very intrinsic to my human being presence, which was I wanted to go be an adventurer. Mm-hmm. And by backpacking around the world, it opened me up to the possibilities that now are my reality, which is this is what I do. I'm an author. I get to share cool stuff with people, amazing people, like the fans who I meet, you, your friend, everybody who I meet who is connected and loves the books. Like, this is the greatest community ever, right? It's such a cool group of people. And so I have this opportunity to do that because I made this big transition, this big leap. But I can't say that before I started the process of writing, or certainly not before I started the process of going backpacking around the world, that I understood my purpose, right? I think it was a journey along the way. I had to be moving in the direction that just felt right, just seemed right. And then along the way, it started to become more and more clear and more and more clear. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a little expression that I use for myself always, as I'm about to leap into something, if I feel a little hesitation. And that is, you can't start the second big adventure until you've gone on the first one. And so, you know, if you want to know your purpose for existence, your purpose in life with 100% certainty, then at some point you have to know it with 1% certainty.
Yeah.
And this doesn't necessarily happen overnight. So I, you know, some people go through, as you said, coaching. Coaching is a wonderful way to, because sometimes we're so locked in our own brain.
Yeah, we are.
And we see our reality through the blinders that are our life and our life story and the things that other people have conditioned us to believe about ourselves. But very often, somebody from the outside can look at you and say, what? Are you crazy? Like, you have so many mad talents, right? And you can do this and you can do that and you'd be awesome at this. And sometimes we don't even see that in ourselves. And so it's wonderful to have a coach. Everybody's different in that regard. Like, when I learn something, if I want to learn it fast, I do coaching. Like, I'm an athlete. So when I want to learn to do something athletically better, or when I want to take it to the next level, I find that I can grind it out and try and improve on my own, but a good coach can video me, see things in me, improve me, and in weeks I can make more progress than I could probably make in months or even a year on my own.
Yeah.
But that said, sometimes there's something where I just feel like grinding it out. I want the experience of self-discovery, and so I want to do it on my own. You know, people who have many, many years ago, 10 years, maybe even more years ago, people would ask me this question, can you help me, John, can you help me figure out my purpose in life? I didn't know. I mean, I knew how I did it, which as we've talked about, was going off and backpacking around the world. But so I ended up sitting down and for 30 days, I wrote out questions I would ask someone to help elicit the information about who they are. Mm-hmm. And so these days, if someone is wired that way, they can go and experience a two-day experience where people are going to ask them questions and that will help bring this out. Yeah. Is that the good fit for everyone? No, that's a good fit for some people, but for someone else, they should probably grab their mountain bike or bicycle and they should bike across all of Europe. And I guarantee by the end, they're going to have a whole different perspective about their life and their place in it, right? So the answer is a little bit different from everybody. Yeah. And I guess what I would encourage someone to do is, as we talked about, who's living your dream life?
Yeah.
Right? And what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And then start to figure out, can you get there on your own?
Yeah.
And at what pace can you get there on your own? And are you comfortable with that pace? Mm-hmm. And then at what pace could someone else get you there? You know, could they accelerate your progress a bit? Mm-hmm. And do you like that experience of working with a coach or going through a course, right? Yeah. And is that where you want to invest your time and your energy and your resources? So it's a very personal decision, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. But what I always say or tell my coaches, I always say you just have to start at some point.
Yeah.
There might be tons of things that prevent you from doing something, but it's so important that you just take this tiny little first step to do something. You will experience that it's not as bad as you think or as horrible as you just said. I'm still alive, but the person who has done what I would like to do is still alive. So it's just about starting. And because lots of people fear failure just to do something and then to realize that it was not the right step. What do you think about failure? Because just to let you know, my startup school or startup Schule, as we say in German, is about telling people that something we got to, or some concepts we got from our parents or at school might be a little bit too old, and that the new failure is something good.
Yeah.
And as for example, at school, we learn that we have to get good marks and to learn something by heart and to come home with the best marks and to do everything to satisfy our parents. But I say that you can fail, and it's very good to fail just to get to know you. What do you think?
I think that if you're not failing, then you're not trying different things. And I existed for most of my life between a fear of success and a fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the world looking at me would never have known. And it was based on an experience that I did have when I was a very young boy, mm-hmm. Which implanted this code in my unconscious that said, be very afraid. Right? And the consequences of failure are absolutely catastrophic. So do not do that. Right. And this is problematic. And interestingly, as a very young child, you actually know the opposite of this. And the very simplistic example, which I've seen and experienced firsthand as a parent, is that in order for you to go from an infant who just lays there and goes like this, mm-hmm. to an infant who crawls, you have to try something that is uncomfortable, right? And then when you go from an infant who crawls to an infant who stands up and actually walks, I guarantee you there's never been a baby on the planet who pulled themselves up on the couch, right? Felt what it was like to stand up and then just started sprinting across the living room. Like, it just doesn't happen, right? Yeah. They literally take a step, maybe a step and a half, and they land right on their butt, right? Mm. It happens every single time.
Yeah.
And they get right back up and they do it again. So we are hardwired with an awareness that it's okay, right? That this is part of the path.
Yeah.
And whether you're an athlete or you're an entrepreneur or you're a makeup artist, in order for you to push the boundaries of what you are capable of, you're going to have to try things that don't always go perfectly. Baking, cooking, like anything, right? But in the process of finding out what doesn't work, you're going to learn something.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. It's okay to fail, right? Yeah. What's not okay is to make the same mistake again and again.
And again.
Yes. Right. This is where you end up in just a holding pattern of no progress. Mm-hmm. But if you're a chef and you're interested in trying out some things that nobody else has ever done, and I love that, whether it's writing or entrepreneurial ventures, I love pushing the envelope into something that nobody's ever done.
Yeah.
You're going to put some combination of flavors together and you're going to try it. And some of them you're going to be like, that was horrible, right?
Yeah.
Right. And some of them you're going to be like, okay, I see something in that. It's not quite where I want it to be, but there's something there, and you're going to tweak it again, right?
Yeah.
This is life. This is how you grow from where you are to where you're going to get to.
Yeah.
I have failed so many times, right? So many times.
Yeah.
I've written horrible I've signed horrible contracts that people put in front of me for book deals. I have written things that I wasn't happy about and then had to go back through the editing process and found better ways to say it. Mm-hmm. Everything you can imagine, I have failed at.
Yeah.
But I would not be where I am today if I had not allowed myself to get past that fear of failure and to get comfortable with this idea.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. And you're still afraid sometimes, right? Because that helps me so much that
you
realize that people, even if they are successful as hell, they are still afraid sometimes.
So the event that I did right before the event where we met each other was something called the World Leadership Summit. And I was asked to be
there as well.
Okay, yeah. So I was asked to be the speaker. There was only five or six speakers that night. And I was asked to be the speaker who came on and spoke after former President Barack Obama, right? Known to be one of the great speakers, the great man of the people, right? And I'm going to get on stage in front of 15,000 people after that guy, right? I will tell you, I am never nervous before a speech, never, right? Because I speak from the heart and I know exactly that I'm going to tell the truth about what I believe. I live this every day. This is easy peasy to stand in front of a stage and talk to audiences of any size because I talk from the heart. Mm-hmm. But I was actually standing on the edge of that stage right before I get on there knowing that, okay, Barack Obama just finished and I'm going to be on there. And I will tell you, I was absolutely nervous.
Yeah.
So here's the cool thing though. Like, this is the growth progress. So I get up there, I stand in front of 15,000 people. I give the speech that I wanted to give, right? Went great. And then 3.5 weeks later, I'm standing in front of 5,000 people in Wiesbaden, mm-hmm. right? To talk at that conference. I didn't even prep for that speech, mm-hmm. right? Because I was so comfortable at that point. Like, wow, okay. Like, just did that one. This is going to be a walk in the park. I loved it, enjoyed every minute of it, enjoyed meeting all the people in Wiesbaden.
Yeah.
But because it's like I had now crossed a new threshold of confidence that made that other one easy. And this, like, go back to the travel example. Once you've backpacked around the world, when someone says to you, hey, are you interested in going to this country for 10 days? You're like, yeah, I can leave in about an hour. Right? I mean, I can literally throw a bag together in an hour, grab my passport and meet you at the airport. No problem. And this is the cool thing. Again, whether you're a baker, whether you're a video blogger, whether you're an auto mechanic, the more times you test the limits of what you are capable of, an athlete, right?
Yeah.
Then the easier it becomes to operate at high efficiency, high mm-hmm. effectiveness in pretty much any situation, less than the last level you pushed yourself to.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. That's great. Yeah, I think it will gives a lot of motivation and lots of trust for so many people listening to this podcast right now, just to know that somebody like you, somebody like me, we are still very, very, yeah, very, we need to step out of our comfort zones as well. And we encourage others to do that as well. And I'm pretty sure that there are so many people out there saying, nah, I'm not that type of guy. I'm not like, going out of my comfort zone, but I think they miss something. And I think if you don't do it, you will never know what you're capable of, you know? Yeah.
I think it comes down to how do you feel about it? If you're afraid because you're afraid you're going to fail, but in truth, what you really want to do inside your heart is to take some of these steps, then it's perfect. It's go ahead and take some of the steps. And I'll give you, your listeners and viewers, a tip on that in a second. If indeed, though, you are the type of person who says, actually, I'm happy exactly where I am.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Right? I'm not here on the planet to tell anybody that they need to change. What I'm here for is if someone says, I actually want to go from here to here, can you help me? I'm all in. I'm all in. Right. So as an example of if the person says, I want to go from here to here, I need help, I'm struggling with dealing with changes, my suggestion would be allow yourself to start with small, absolutely painless things. And a very simple two of them are, next time you drive to work, right, give yourself an extra 10 minutes, take a completely different route. Right? And if this is going to throw you completely, then do it on your way home from work. But literally, you cannot drive the same route that you took, not even for like a 2 mile or 2 kilometer radius. Like, you have to find a completely different route. And even better is do it without your GPS. Turn off the guidance system. Because this will start to get you in touch with your intuitive skills. And when you travel the world and you have to figure out food, shelter, lodging, how to communicate, and you don't even speak the language, it teaches you to trust your intuition, right? We all have this inside of us, but very often it just sort of gets buried. But this little exercise of finding a new way to get home sort of reactivates that piece of our personality. And another one, and this is even more basic, more simple, but it's a good little technique, which is rearrange the furniture in your house, right? Not because it even looks better where you move it to, but just so it's different. And I know that will sound simple, but think of how often you walk through your house and your brain doesn't even pay attention, right? This is the same with driving to work, by the way. How many times you've ever, for the people who are driving to work, this totally used to be me. You drive to work, you get out of the car and you're like, oh, wait, like, where did the last 26 minutes go? Because I was not even paying attention. Right? And the third one I'll give you is, so next time you go to a restaurant, order something you would never order. Right? Because again, this challenges the piece of our mind, the piece of our unconscious that says, this is how we do it. Well, no, that's how we did it before this launch. But now this is how we do it. We've done something totally different. Thank you very much. Right.
Amazing. That's very good. It's just realize it can be so easy, and we'll build self-trust and then take the next step. And this might be a little bit bigger, and then finally end up doing something amazing you've never thought of. Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And so you can ease into this through these simple little steps, and you can then, as you were describing, so, all right, today you order a different lunch, right? And then maybe 6 weeks, a month from now, or 6 weeks, 2 months from now, maybe that becomes you try a new project at work that you before would never have tried, or, you know, who knows where it's going to lead to. But it's all simple little steps along the way.
And that's what I tell my listeners as well. If they, for example, they think of founding a company at the beginning, it seems to be like a huge mountain, but it might be just a huge, it is of course a huge mountain, but it's these little tiny steps that you can do. And it might be a passion project at the beginning. It's just a project. Just do it and take the first step. I call it the, or in the startup scene, we say lean startup, that you start very lean with not so many resources. And yeah, that's what we do with life as well.
So we used to have a great expression when I used to do consulting work. It was think big, start small, and scale quickly.
Amazing.
And very much what you're talking about, right? It's great to have the wonderful vision of this is what I want my life to be like. These are my personal big five for life and the things I most want to do, see, or experience in my lifetime, right? So that's the think big. Start small, which is maybe one of your big five for life, like we talked about, is to go to Africa. Okay, so get on YouTube and watch a video about Africa every day for the next week. Just watch one video that's 5 minutes long about the African animals you would love to see or the cultures you would like to experience. That is about as small as you can start, right? And then scale quickly. Did you enjoy that experience? Awesome. Watch two videos a day, right? Get a book from Lonely Planet about Africa and start to see the way that other people are writing about where can you stay, what are the places to visit. I know I'm probably making this sound simplistic, but what I've learned in my years on the planet is when you are able to get beyond all the noise, it actually is simple, right? It's it's a lot easier than we were led to believe.
That's it. I've never thought of having an interview with you. And this is what I, when I started the podcast, I, somebody, when somebody would have told me like, you will have an interview with John Strelacki, I would be like, no way. This is how I started.
And it's funny because I remember standing outside of the elevator, you and your friend and I were talking. And so literally, I just happened to check in at the hotel at that moment, right? Mm-hmm. I was standing there waiting for the elevator. You all happened to check in. You were waiting for the elevator too. And I remember the two of you telling me that you had just been talking about like, okay, one of the things that would be cool is if we had a chance to interact and talk with John.
Yeah.
Maybe part of the way this all works is with that awareness for yourself, maybe that sends a homing beacon to the universe that's like, oh, here's what she wants, right? Yeah. Here's what she's interested in.
Yeah.
So by having the awareness for yourself, by vocalizing it to some other people, next thing you know, we just happen to be standing right next to each other at a random moment in time, and here we are. So
it's incredible, yeah. And this encourages to think big again and again, just to have this kind of, not a confirmation, but something like that really shows you that it works. If you dream big, it might happen, and then it will happen again and again and again. So John, you just said that you talk when you're on stage, you talk with your heart or from your heart. Do you think this is what makes a company, or let's talk a little bit about success. This is what I wanted to talk about as well. Do you think being successful is about doing something with heart and to put all your love in it? And because I have the impression that so many people starting a company think about making a lot of money at the beginning.
Right.
I totally changed my perspectives in the last couple of years. I was like, I really, really enjoy, of course I enjoy money coming in as well, but what I really enjoy is seeing people smile when they leave my events or when they listen to a podcast or when they leave the coaching session and they give me feedback and I know that I help them. What you told us in front of the elevator, that the big thing is you might inspire, and even if it's just one person, you inspired this person to do something.
Yep.
Is this success for you, or can you explain it a little bit more in detail?
I think in the same way that choosing and identifying your own personal purpose for existing and your own personal big five for life, that success is something that cannot be defined by another person for you. Mm-hmm. That this is about you deciding for yourself what success is. Mm-hmm. And I know you've read the books and you're familiar with the concept of museum day. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's a question of what is going to be in your life museum. And the way in which you get there may be different depending on who you are and what motivates you. So as you were describing that, a lot of things came to mind. One is that, you know, one of the most important things for a business is to be profitable. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not profitable, it's going under. Mm-hmm. And then nobody wins. Because if you're offering something of value to the world, whether it's your information or a product or a service of some sort, if you really are doing it in something valuable to the world and your company goes under, then the world loses because it doesn't get that anymore, whatever that was, right? And so getting comfortable with money and how to make money is really, really important. And this is something I struggled with for so many years. Having my money belief systems were just way out of whack, right? And the easy fix for that, at least it was for me, was to find a role model who is successful financially, doing something in spirit with the way in which you would like to do your thing. And so if, you know, Richard Branson is an interesting example because he's very philanthropic in what he does. He's a larger than life personality, right? He's constantly pushing the envelopes, constantly failing, but constantly finding another reason to succeed also. And so you could look at someone like him and say, wow, like he clearly is comfortable with failing. Mm-hmm. He's comfortable with making money because he realizes that he's going to make money by adding value in some way. And then if he adds enough value in our current society, you get rewarded financially, right? Mm-hmm. So this is just the way the world works. And it's important to allow ourselves to get comfortable with this, that if you're adding a lot of value, mm-hmm. very likely people are going to say thank you financially,
yeah.
right? Whether that's you've written a book and people love the book and they buy other books, well, the reward there is, yes, you definitely get emails and you get the opportunity to interact with fans, but you're also being rewarded financially.
Yeah.
And so allow yourself to be comfortable with that. And again, mm-hmm. finding a good role model of someone who's doing good things, offering a product, service, whatever, similar to yours, like that's useful. That's good for the brain. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I've never thought of it until you asked your question, but I think theoretically, as much as I firmly believe it's much faster and more effective to be passionate about what you do, because I think the rest of the world sees that, right? I think if I was inauthentic on stage or inauthentic in what I wrote, I don't think anybody would buy the books, right? So I personally believe that, yes, coming from a place of genuine authenticity and passion is one of the key hallmarks of being successful. But that said, I can actually envision something in the technology space. Maybe you come up with an invention, right? Or even an app or something with technology, and you don't really love it. But what you love is the idea that if you can make it super successful, you're going to take the proceeds from that and you're going to open up orphanages in Africa, right?
Okay.
So I can actually see a way in which you make something super successful and then use the success of it to build the thing that really is your core purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And I'm not sure I would say go that route first, because I think it's a little bit of a roundabout way, but yeah. I can see a reality possibly for that.
Yeah, but I get what you say. Yeah, it's very interesting because I read a book at the moment. I will show you, and it's about this. Do you know it? It's Right Riches for the Listeners, Right Riches for You. It's
a very okay.
book. It's about money mindset and what you just said, that it's really you have to create the first thing that you said. You have to create. You have to get money to be able to create as well. And this is what we all do. And the second point, that it might be about like founding a company, it might be about the money, but you will do something with the money. And this might serve people again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a bit of a cultural perception. So two things with that. One is, I've shared this quote very often when I talk to people, but it's a wonderful Mother Teresa quote.
Yeah.
And it is, if you can't feed 1,000, feed one.
Yeah.
Right. And so what that tells us is that, no, we don't need to be super wealthy or have all of these trappings to make a difference in the lives of another human being.
Yeah.
You smile at someone, and when they smile back, it causes the endorphins in their system to create healthy cell responses and release very positive chemicals in the brain that actually facilitate health throughout the entire body. So everyone can smile, right? There's no cost. You don't need money in your bank account to smile. So it's not a necessity to have these things to be making a difference in the world or to be contributing in your own special way.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's not bad that you have that either. So I think that's kind of the takeaway, right? Both are good things.
Yeah, that's it. It's very funny because this is one question that I wrote down before. Normally I don't do that. I don't have a script or something, but my brother, he told me, well, for John, you have to do something. I didn't stick to any question. It was like a conversation for me. But one question that I really noted was, how can I make a difference in the life of others? And this is what you just said. You don't have to change like the whole, or you don't have to found a company, or you have to do something extraordinary, I don't know, big and huge. You can smile at others. And this, you never know what this causes. It might cause a ripple effect or something. This person goes to another, and you never know. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I just came from an event a couple nights ago, and there was a great example of that. So a reporter had heard about a kid in a school who was really outstanding in a very poor school.
Yeah.
The reporter had written an article about this young man. And then someone had read the article and said, wow, we're trying to figure out how, as a business, we can enable some important aspects of philanthropy in what we do. So they had read this article about this young man. They went to meet him and ended up giving him a scholarship and supporting him through his college experience, which college here in the US is quite expensive, right? And so this was 5 years ago, and they now have, I think this year they did 28 students that they are enabling to come from these very, very difficult economic environments, not the best family environments many times, and they're supporting them to follow their dreams, right? To enable them to have an amazing, amazing start to their academic life. Mm-hmm. Had it not been for that first reporter, there would be no program, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, never underestimate the importance of what you do and the contributions.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the universe, one is the same as a million, you know? Make a difference in the life of one, it's the same as a million.
That's beautiful, yeah. And this all leads to what I really want to tell my community and people listening to this podcast or watching the videos, it's, you don't have to be an entrepreneur. I don't think you can do whatever you want to do. You will help somebody or inspire someone. Even if you work for a company, and this is the last thing I would like to talk to you about, is corporate entrepreneurship, that you can do, you can make a change in your company as well. I just told you that here I'm at Google right now, visiting my brother who works there. And I know that they have a program which is called Google for Entrepreneurs or something. Wherever you are, and even if it's not Google, if it's some other company, you can make a difference. You can do something at least, yeah.
Yeah, not everybody wants to be. So when I think of an entrepreneur, I typically think of someone who is the one in charge.
Yeah.
Right? So you're founding the company, you're leaping in with bold enthusiasm and sometimes nothing much more than bold enthusiasm and a good idea, right? And not everybody is wired that way. Not everybody has that level of risk tolerance in them. And you don't need to, because, you know, take my books as a very basic example, but one that I know well.
Yeah.
And so I'm the entrepreneur who writes the book.
Yeah.
But I could not have the opportunity to do my best to inspire as many people as possible were it not for the dozens of people at the publishing house in Germany. I work with an amazing publisher called DTV. Mm-hmm. Spectacular people, so passionate about what they do, so amazing in the way that they do it. So they are not entrepreneurs and that they're not the ones creating the content, but they are part of the team that enables every single person who reads the book the opportunity to connect with something that matters to them.
Yeah.
And I always do my very best when I'm at DTV to tell the people that I work with there how much I value what they do. Were it not for the salespeople there who are talking to the bookstore owners, then my books would be nothing. They wouldn't even be books in the bookstore, right?
Yeah.
And so for every young person who reads the book and says, this has changed my life, were it not for every person in that process, the one who delivered the books to the store, the clerk in the store who packaged the book up and rang it, everybody is part of that moment that enabled that person to change their life. Everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't have to be an entrepreneur. You don't have to be the one that's sort of leaping into the fray. You can be part of the whole experience and get the same great level of satisfaction out of it.
Yeah. That perfectly matches my last question that I always ask. It's about life entrepreneurship. And I kind of do the transition between entrepreneurship and life, because I think you can be entrepreneurial in your own life as well. If you don't sit on the couch all day and say, I'm not that type of guy, if you just get out, then you are an entrepreneur of your own life. And I would like to ask you, John, why are you the entrepreneur of your own life?
Yeah, so that's a great way to think of it, in that you can definitely be non-entrepreneurial in the way in which your work life appears and manifests and how you live it. I don't think you can be non-entrepreneurial in life, though. Yeah. So in that regards, I guess all of us at some point have to deal with the risk-reward.
Yeah.
And if you want to live an extraordinary life by your own definition of extraordinary, right? Mm-hmm. So again, this goes back to your personal big five for life. Then at some point you are going to have to leap into the game.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to push the boundaries. Because if you want to go travel to Africa and you're not in Africa right now, then something needs to change, right? Whatever you're doing now does not have you in Africa at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So something will need to be different so that that new reality can become your reality.
Yeah.
And that requires this level of entrepreneurship thinking.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship action as well.
Yeah.
But again, to talk about the barriers that hold people back, I would say, but don't worry, everybody, because there's tons of great guides out there, right? And there's tons of people that want to help you. When people hear about someone that is poised to do something entrepreneurial in life that they are truly passionate about, that it is truly one of their big five for life, people want to help you. They really do. Right. And why do we help other people? Because it makes us feel good. Helping is one of the great, wonderful, selfish, but still wonderful aspects of humanity.
Yeah.
I help because it makes me, I know it helps you. I know it makes you feel good, but in helping you, it makes me feel good too.
Yeah.
Right? So whatever your dream is, someone wants to help you with it.
Yeah. And it's very nice, because this kind of also implies that it's not selfish to receive.
Oh, this is, you just tapped into one of the biggest moments of self-development probably any compassionate person can have, right? Yeah. And I will tell you, I speak this so much from life experience. You talk about personal failures, right? Yeah. I struggled forever with accepting help from other people.
Yeah.
And the reason, just to give an example, is in my environment that I grew up in, there was an understanding that if someone helped you, you were now obligated to help them back.
Yeah.
It was like, to use an English expression, it was a tit for tat, right? So I've helped you. Now the expectation is you owe me. I will call in that favor at some point. I hated that. I did not like being obligated to things because I'm a person who loves to be free. And obligations in that way are very non-freeing. I developed this horrible pattern where I would not accept help from other people, right? Because I didn't want to have these outstanding obligations. This was so self-defeating, I can tell you. Because you're right that, and I often will challenge audiences with this. I'll say, all right, so how many of you love to help other people, right? And they all raise their hand. Yeah. Okay, how many of you have an easier time accepting help from others, or excuse me, how many of you have an easier time giving help to others than accepting help from people? Oh, all the hands go right back up, right? And so then I say to them, so why are you being so selfish? Oh my gosh, like what, selfish? Me? I'm a giver, man. I love to help people. I'm not selfish, right? But then I say to them, this exact thing we're talking about, I say, well, why do you love to help people? Oh, and then we all do this, right? But they defend, right? Well, because they need help and because it makes a difference. And I'm like, yeah, but at its core, why do we like to help people? Oh, because it makes us feel good. Right. So what are you doing if you're denying other people the opportunity to feel good? You're being selfish.
Yeah. Right?
So yeah, you're exactly right. When you, it's not greed to enable other people to help you. It's actually, you're giving them a wonderful gift, yeah. Right? Let other people help you when they want to. It's a tremendous gift. And I struggled with that for so long.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so helpful, especially for people founding a company and startup founders, which sometimes need to rely on resources that they don't have. I always say we have, it's all about like entrepreneurs ask themselves, who am I? What can I do? Or what am I capable of? What skills do I have? And who do I know? So the network. And it's so important to know that there are people out there willing to help. And you can ask them. And it's nothing about it. You can just ask them. As I asked you, John, would you please share your knowledge or your experiences with my community? And you said, of course I will. It's
So and be aware too that not everybody is going to have the time, the energy, the resources to help you when you ask, right? Because they've got their own life that they're living also. And you know what? Maybe their kid is sick at home and they need to take care of their child. And so at the moment, your inquiry is not high on their personal priority list. Had it have been 2 months earlier, they probably would have been like, oh, sure, I can do that, right? And so don't take it personal when someone says, I actually can't help right now, right? Yeah. It doesn't mean that they don't love you. It doesn't mean that they don't love your vision. It doesn't mean that they don't believe in you. It just means that at this moment in time, their life is tilted down here in order for them to maintain balance, right?
Yeah.
And so don't take it personal. And in spirit with that also is I find that, hey, you know what? Do your best to give first.
Yeah.
So ask yourself, how can I help this person succeed in their dreams and their big afterlife? Mm-hmm. And then don't be surprised when they return the favor. Say, well, how can I help you? You know?
Yeah, amazing. This is what I really think of when I talk about life entrepreneurship, that it's not just about founding companies, but rather about life and having like these kind of, this is what I wanted to talk to you about as well, the museum days, but this is way too much right now. It's just that I wanted to say that I create my life as, yeah, making as many museum days, great museum days as possible, which I would like to make a podcast episode about as well later on.
We'll do it again. Yeah.
We will do it again. Yeah, the interview. Thank you so much, John. Can you just quickly summarize what you're going to do next? What's up next in your life?
Yeah, so I'm super excited in that in August, a third cafe book is going to be released to the world. Yeah, And so I'm super excited about that because this is, I don't write anything on demand in that, you know, I don't set a goal of I'm going to write one book a year or anything like that. I only want to release a book if I feel that it's a project that I personally am deeply passionate about and that I feel it's going to make a difference in the lives of others. Because otherwise, why bother, right? And so this is the topic of the third cafe book is something that is very near and dear to my heart. And that it's something that I personally was struggling with for the last couple of years. And I have to say that the process of writing the book has been so tremendously powerful for me as an individual, as a human being. I found the answers I was looking for by spending time in the cafe. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a cool experience. And I always think to myself, if I write something that makes someone else laugh, or if I write something that makes me laugh, it'll make someone else laugh, right? If I write something that makes me cry as I'm writing it, it'll make someone else cry. And I guess one of the reasons I'm super excited about the third cafe book coming out is if I was struggling with these things, I have to believe that other people have been struggling with them too. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that it helped me so much, I'm really excited to have it out there in the hopes that it will help other people as well. So, and the early feedback I've gotten from readers who have read the manuscript is that that is absolutely the case. So I'm excited.
I'm super excited as well. I can't wait. And I will let everybody out there know when it's time, when your book releases.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John, for taking the time. I have a book right here in front of me. There are so many questions, but I haven't asked any of them, just a few. But it's like that. You just go along and just let everything come out of yourself. It's like when you wrote the book, everything flew through you just wrote, and this was the same with the interview. And I'm so happy that you were the special guest of my anniversary podcast episode.
Thank you for the honor to do that. And we'll do another interview. Like if for everybody who's listening, everybody who's watching, if you're thinking through these things that we've talked about and there's specific ideas or questions or other ideas you'd like to know more about, you know, make sure you send this to Natalie, and then we'll do another interview and we'll talk about the questions you all had and address those as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, John. And now have a beautiful rest of the museum day. It's still in the morning, right?
We just crossed noon. So yeah, I have my whole day in front of me where I am. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, it's 5 p.m. here right now, and I'm going to have a wonderful night with my family, and they will be so excited to hear how it went, how the interview went. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And as a final closing thought, I will leave for those who are listening and watching, which is I just want to thank everyone for listening and watching. And I want to commend you on your courage, because there was something that inspired you to spend 68 minutes of your life or so listening to this. And you were deeply in touch with your intuition if you've stayed with it and listened all the way to the end. And so I want to commend you on your courage, because it would have been easy to do other things and maybe listen to other people telling you that there was something more important, but you said for yourself this was important in some way, some shape, some form for your life. And so job well done.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks. Take care.